So we're starting a two-week series.
Two-week series.
It's a series.
It's a tandem. No. So we're. Huh?
Is it camping?
Yeah. Getting there. So we're calling this 2 weeks study about transitions. So you're going through transitions right now after this school year. You're gonna go through summer and then gonna go to the next stage of your life, which is the next screen. You're too many to mention. All right. So yeah, transitions are very crucial in our lives. It's sometimes messy. Sometimes emotional. My classmates, when we graduated in high school, are crying here and there. I was laughing at them. Because, well, I don't know. They think it's too emotional. Yeah, after they threw their hats, they cried and hugged each other. And I told my classmates, yeah, we're going to see each other tomorrow when we get back here. Well, anyway, yeah, to most people, transitions are emotional. And it's often touchy-feely. And most of all, it's personal. Sometimes you don't want to share what transitions you're going through right now, especially if it involves your family, yourself, or whatever situation you're going through. But right now, you are what we call in between. That's the topic that we have in between. Yeah, and it's not camp. Yeah, you may call it in between every stage of life. You may be transitioning from one grade to the next, one school to another, one house to another, one neighborhood to another, one church to another, maybe one of your best friends or friends are moving away, you're transitioning to a new group of friends or a new set of people around you. There are transitions that in our lives that are simple, there are transitions that are complicated, but we're undergoing these changes and it's not easy. It's not easy. Unless you don't care. But there's a downside to that. If you don't care, you don't have the right to complain, whatever comes your way. Don't complain because you don't care. You know, God has given us the gift of choice. We've studied that for several weeks. And we know that God has given us free will to choose whatever decision we have to make. Okay, we're not robots. Now, as we have dealt in the past week, so we make the choice to be intentional about your future. You're so quiet. Huh, good. So, I want to share. It's an irrelevant fact to you, but I just celebrated 3 years in Canada last Friday.
3 years.
Yeah. 3 years since I've rode an airplane. Yeah, it's actually your first time. Yeah, it's really exciting and scary when I left the country. It's a big transition to a different culture, to a different set of people, to a different church, to a different place, to a different currency, to a different job. Yeah, so I've undergone that kind of transition, and it really was messy on my part. It took me 2 years to be involved in the youth ministry again. It's really hard coming from where I am. You yourself are undergoing, I don't know what kind of transition, but right now, can you share to your group the biggest transition you've ever experienced? The biggest. Think about it. And how, think about how you cope with that transition. How you adjusted. Ready, go. Wow, that's good. All right, time's up. Anyone want to share their groups? Any of yours? Anyone? Go, Aubrey.
My parents have been getting divorced for 5 years, so that's a really big transition.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, wow. Yeah. How did you go through?
Not the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard. I was in grade 4 when I experienced that. But
no, it's the worst. The little brother's in grade 4 right now. He's not coping well.
Yeah. Well, it's never hard, whatever stage you are in life. Anyone else? It could be whatever situation you have to experience change. Go. Aina. Yeah. Go.
Transitioning from elementary school to high school.
Oh, okay. How is it?
Why?
How did you cope with it? Is it really different?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you can fill me in. I don't know the
atmosphere.
Oh.
And no, like,
were you classmates?
No. I was only classmates.
Not until, like, we were until grade 1 when they realized they were having a hard time.
But the three of us went to the same elementary school.
Smart teachers. Okay.
Yes, we go to the same elementary school.
Cool. Anyone else?
Sure.
Anyone else? Okay. So you get the point. It's not easy when you're undergoing change. Like, you're going from one stage to another, especially when you're in between, you're in the valley. Oh, that's what it's for. All right. So, I want to share to you tonight one of the biggest transitions that ever happened in history. Big word. And we will look at how we can apply it to your transitions and my transition to what's happening to our lives. So, 2,000 years ago, Jesus introduced something entirely new to some old school Jewish boys and girls, and they've undergone a very drastic transition. I am not kidding you when I say drastic, when I say it is really a very heavy transition, bigger than anything else you can ever think of. A lot of Jesus' teachings are so radical and often offensive that people literally stood and left while he was preaching. Like a lot of his teachings are against what they've already grown to know. We'll focus on the 11, or 11 of the closest followers and some other disciples, and their journey through this transition and how they ultimately turned the known world upside down. How did they cope with the transition? And how can we apply this to your life and to mine? They are experiencing the greatest change in their life, their culture, and their country. So, here's the setting. During their time, every culture and every religion has a pattern. Let's call this the temple setup. The temple setup. The temple. So in the temple, there's always a sacred place. There's always a sacred text. There's always sacred men, usually men, before. And there's always sincere followers or superstitious. Let's call them sincere. Okay? So that's the temple setup or the temple model. That's how the culture around Israel and the entire known world is. Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, even the Jews are set up like that. So they're not that different. So the arrival of Jesus signaled the end of the temple. He meant to bring down that structure. Abby, are you saying that he's that radical that he meant to change the entire system of the known world? Yes, he is that radical, and he did that. Exactly. I'm going to show you four things that this is just four of the things that he taught to his disciples. So when Jesus arrived, he signaled the end of the temple setup and the beginning of something entirely new. Oh, sorry, I forgot. You should get your journals. There you go. Thank you guys for reminding me. Yeah. We are going to journal something that you can't share to your neighbor. So the followers back then are barely catching on to what Jesus was teaching. You will, if you're reading the Bible, you will see, or you will sometimes read that the disciples are asking a lot of questions, or it will say, or the verse will say, that they didn't understand what Jesus said. Like, there's a lot of times that happened. Like, Jesus was teaching something, and they will act like, okay. And then when there's no one else around, Master, what did that mean? Can you explain that to us? Especially the 12. Because they're so close to Jesus, you might think that they're really understanding what he's saying all the time, but nah. They're just as confused as you and me when you read, especially if you're reading King James. Imagine. Those 12 are as confused and dumbfounded as you and me. Here are some things he introduced. Okay, are you ready?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. The first is, he introduced a new movement. Jesus said, while they were in Caesarea Philippi, the place is something It's like a park that the leader of that place created and named after himself and the emperor. So his name is Philip, and the emperor is Caesar. So yeah, since I made this place beautiful, I will name this after me and after Caesar. So it's like no one going through that place will ever not notice the person who owns that. So whenever someone visits that place, they'll always talk about Caesar and Philip. Now, Jesus is kind of saying to them in Matthew 16, 13 to 19, we know what they're saying about Caesar and Philip and whoever, but what do people say about me? That's what Jesus said. What do they say about me? And the disciples raised their hands. Some say you were like this, you were like this, and you were. And then the bravest among them. Any suggestions? Who is it?
John.
It starts with letter P.
Peter.
Good job, kids. Okay. Peter said. Wait. Is it there?
Yes.
Oh. See, there's a clue. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Peter, that didn't come from your mind. That came from God. I will start a movement." Wait, is it there?
No.
It's there. "I will build my church." Church means assembly or a congregation. Jesus is saying, "I will start a movement from what you said. Everyone who says the same thing will be part of my movement." It's not a physical thing. It's not a place that people gather, but people who believe the same thing. It's a new movement. Second, Jesus made a new covenant. Okay. What if this December, Steve announced, "Okay, this December, we will no longer be celebrating Christmas."
Why?
Yes, wait.
You say we're not celebrating Christmas and you're not celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
Why are we not celebrating?
We will no longer be celebrating Christmas. Instead, we will be celebrating my birthday.
What?
Every December 25, you will be thankful because of me. You will be grateful because I was born. What? You good Christian boys and girls. What would you say to Steve? Steve. What would you say? How would you react?
Very badly.
Very badly. You could even kick him out. Go away. Wait. That's what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, he said, "When you eat this cup, or when you drink of this cup and eat this bread, remember me." Do you know why the Israelites, why the Jewish people eat bread and drink wine in Passover? To remember what Moses did. To remember what God did to the Israelites when they were in slavery in Egypt. And Jesus came saying, from now on, you will not remember that anymore. Wait, Jesus, Moses saved us from slavery. Who did you save? Chill, bro. You ain't seen nothing yet. He's that radical. He changed the meaning of Passover. Now we still do it in church, right? And now we don't do it by Pastor Kevin raising the bread and the juice, saying, "Drink and eat to remember what happened to the Israelites in Egypt." would be funny. You know, Jesus announced a new covenant that the relationship that we're starting is not between a nation and God, but between you and God. Why? Because, not yet. Matthew 5:17. He said, "Do not think that I come to abolish the law," but what did he say? He came to what?
Prophet.
I have not come to abolish them. But to fulfill them. He is saying everything. This might not make much of an impact to you, because we didn't grow up in a Jewish culture. But imagine, okay, Michael saying that everything that you read in the New Testament is about him, points to him. How would you react? You might be mad. This disciple should have stood up and left. Should have said, "Are you crazy? You're saying all the prophecies are about you? All the things that we have read, all the things that we grew up believing is about you?" That's what Jesus is saying. Everything funnels down to me. That I am what you've been waiting for. That's what he started. He started a new movement. He started a new covenant. A new command. Okay. Just hours after he was welcomed as king in Jerusalem. Remember that? He was sang to and welcomed with palms in Jerusalem. And then he was so famous during the time back then. If you were with Jesus, how would you feel? If you were one of the 12, how would you feel? Yeah. It's like you're friends with a celebrity. You won't stop talking about that. Oh, you know my friend. Right? And especially if you're walking along the streets with your celebrity friend. How would you feel? So proud, man. Can't imagine. Now, after that day, Jesus took off his, while they were in the room, Jesus took off his rabbinical robe, put a towel around his waist, and washed their stinking feet. Do you know anyone who has stinking feet?
Oh, definitely not me.
Oh. I appreciate your honesty. You know, imagine if you were, most of them are just wearing sandals, sweating, dust, soil, and other stuff going through their feet. It's not just sweat, you know. It's really, And Jesus, after he was recognized as king, stooped down and washed their feet. After that, he said, "Guys, I know you are really in awe right now, but one of you will betray me." Then he gave his new command. Can we read it all together? The yellow part. Ready? Begin.
"I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another."
Okay. I think I shared this before. The key to that verse is not love, but "as I have loved you." Because they understand. They understand at that point that this is not just something that was commanded. It was something that was shown to them. Most of those apostles don't even deserve to be with Jesus at that time. it's so radical that they would never think that I will be a big time because I'm with Jesus. My master, the famous one, the celebrity, is washing my feet. He knows what love is, and that's what he's shown. Lastly, new branding. Okay, this is what the most, this is the biggest, one of the biggest change that he wants them to undergo. Do we have, Michael, do we have water anywhere? I'm dying. But you can never have this back. Thanks, Miguel. I'm crying. So refreshing. Anyway, okay. Before, religion were known by their temples, by their sacred men, by their sacred scripture, by their superstitious followers. When you see, especially in the Philippines, you will know the religion depending on what kind of church there are. If there's a pointy church, pointy, and it's, or usually one, two, and three pointy buildings. It's usually what they call the Church of God International, or Iglesia Ni Cristo. Yeah. And if there's a white building and a basketball court, it's usually Mormons. Yeah. If there's a big cathedral and a bell, usually it's Catholic. If there's an unfinished building, usually it's Baptist. So, there's always a construction or something. You know, but you know, even before they were known like that, the temples are so significant that you know exactly what culture it is if you see the temple. He's saying, guys, I don't want you to be known by what you wear, by what you say, by how you go to church, or how how often you meet together. I don't want you to be known by your knowledge of scripture. I don't want you to be known by how famous your pastor is. I don't want you to be known by anything else except by how much you love like Jesus. What the new Jesus is showing them. You should be known by how much you love like Jesus. This is so new for these boys and girls that they are so used to obeying the law. By showing people that they don't curse, they don't lie, they don't do this, they don't do that. No, Jesus is saying, you are not to be known like that. You are to be known by how much you love the person beside you. Because the sacred is not on the temple, but it's on the people that are around you. Remember, Paul said that you are, bless you, temple of the Holy Spirit. That the person beside you is more sacred than anything else. That the person beside you or around you is what God sees as sacred. That's the new that Jesus was saying. Okay. It's so hard to grasp for those boys and girls that are on Jesus' crowd It's so hard to understand. It's so hard to even be at the same level as where Jesus is. Then all of a sudden, these things which are enough to give you a breakdown, if you were one of these people hearing Jesus, as if, is it this one? As if those were not enough. A few moments later, there were no believers or followers. Jesus anchored everything he taught unto himself. And now, he's dead. He's dead. These confused people who heard Jesus teach new things are now more confused. Because he taught all those things and then he suddenly died. There were no believers. There were no believers during this time. There weren't any person who were outside Jesus' tomb saying, okay, here we go. We're going to count down. This is going to be a resurrection. 3, 2. No, there weren't any like that. Because, as you and me know, Jesus was going to do what every dead person do. Stay?
Dead.
Thank you, Shade. Yeah, no one believed. They all went away. No one, not Peter, not even John, who says he was Jesus' best friend. Man, they are at the in-between stage. They are not even aware. Well, most of us aren't really, that you're in that stage. You just know that you're struggling. You just know that it's going to be a hard time. But you have to be conscious of what's happening around you. Okay, so here's where we'll get our application. Before we proceed, go to your journals and write down a transition that you've been really struggling with. Write down a change that you're going through. At this moment, or at this year, or at this season of your life. And then write down what you expect out of it. If you don't have anything to write, hold on, it's okay. But if you have something you're going through right now, you can write it down and write down what you expect. What you expect from God, or what you expect from yourself, from the people around you. Bless you again. So, yeah. Write down. If you don't have anything to write, say, I don't think I'm going through a transition that, or any change in my life. Can you write down what recent transition you've been through? What recent changes you've just passed? Go. If you don't have any transition that you're experiencing right now, write down something that you've experienced in the past. A transition that you've experienced in the past. and how you got through it. All right, are you ready? Okay, so we're gonna state three interactions after Jesus went back from the dead, or rose from the dead. Yeah, Jesus was brought back from the dead. There you go. After the resurrection. So, if you're gonna ask me, if I was gonna go back in time and listen to one of Jesus' preaching, I have a specific preaching in mind, and it's in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. So. After the resurrection, most of them were bothered and troubled about what happened and how would they react after that. There were two disciples going to Emmaus. There you go. There were two disciples going to Emmaus. They were discussing the events that happened from Jesus being captured or whatever to his crucifixion to the rumored resurrection. So it's just a rumor during that time. So these two were talking about it. Then all of a sudden, Jesus walked along them. And they didn't even know it was Jesus. He was so casually saying, "What are you talking about? Oh, we were just explaining to each other how the events that we've seen, we've experienced, connects." They don't even know that everything that they've been talking about was about that guy. You know, this too, just like you and me, sometimes cannot make sense of what's happening. Intellectually, it's not connecting. What does this mean? Why do I have to go through these things? Why do I have to go to grade 12? Because I have to. Why do I have to experience this thing in my life? I don't know what you're experiencing right now, but sometimes it doesn't connect in your mind. It doesn't connect. What Jesus told them was simple. He just explained from Moses up to the prophets, up to the kings, and the entire history in the Old Testament. He explained it to them one by one in detail and how it relates to him. That must have been a long walk. And then, at the end of their walk, they went to a house and broke bread. And when they broke bread, they just realized their eyes were open and they saw, wait, that was Jesus. After everything that they heard Now this is Jesus. You know, you might be that those two. You might be one of those two who can't connect things and what they mean on what or what sense does these things happen. You might be a person who needs reason. You might be a person who needs explanation. If you're a person who needs that, then seek it. My advice to you is not to keep it to yourself. If you have questions, then seek someone. Seek someone, because you always won't get answers like literally when you pray. God has given the people around us to support us. And these two might have been debating all day and not getting anywhere if Jesus didn't come in between them and explain everything to them. They might still be debating up to this point. They might still be walking somewhere if Jesus didn't explain anything to them. You know, sometimes you just need probably a wiser friend, a godly leader, a pastor, or someone who can point you to the right answer or to the right direction. You might be going through that conflict in your head. You don't have to go through it alone. You don't have to get all the answers by yourself. The second example is Mary Magdalene. So sometimes we won't get an explanation. Most of the times we won't. So when Jesus resurrected, when Jesus resurrected, there was one, actually not one, there were several ladies that came to the tomb. You know why? Because men were the one who prepared the body of Jesus. Like, probably they were thinking, those men did a lousy job, so we have to do it all over again. They were in a hurry. Yeah. It's probably true. Anyway, so Mary Magdalene was one of those. She was one of the people who first saw Jesus. Now, in John chapter 20, if you would read these verses, you will see that Mary was so depressed during that time. She was crying heavily because she was one of the girls that deeply loved and devoted themselves to Jesus. Mary was in deep emotional turmoil. She was what they call inconsolable during that time. My Savior died and now his body was stolen. The Lord of my life was gone and now someone stole his body. That's what she was thinking during that time. Then Jesus went to him and said, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And then she explained this and that. And she thought he was a gardener. I was wondering what Jesus looked like when he's resurrected. He was not recognized by the people who are closest to him. And he was even thought of as a gardener. So anyway, so in one word, when Jesus called Mary by name, he recognized, wait, this is Jesus. And all the sorrow and all the emotional turmoil that she's experiencing went away. Sometimes it just takes a word of comfort from the Lord. It just takes a word of comfort from the Lord. Sometimes wisdom cannot. I had to share this. Never share a verse to someone who is grieving. Never share a verse to someone who is grieving. You know, wisdom works if you're seeking wisdom, but if you need a shoulder to cry on or just presence of people around you, that's what you should give. If you're talking to someone who just lost their loved one, don't say, all things work together for good. I'm gonna kick you, all things work together. I'm so broken, and then you'll say that to me. Yeah, even the most spiritual people I know, actually I've seen it. Someone told them a verse, which the verse is true, you know? But if you're in that situation, especially during transitions, it's really emotional. Even for men, it's really emotional. It's sometimes you just need someone to be there. What happened to Mary when she understood that that's the Lord? She went back to the disciples, to the others. Because it's not wisdom that you need sometimes. You just need people to be there. So when you're going through transition, don't go through it alone. Okay? During this summer, it's a transition. It's a transition. We won't have every week of getting together. We won't have every week of getting together. There will be weeks that we won't see each other. Don't go wandering around. Don't go wandering around, because that kind of transition will be crucial for you. Find someone to talk to just refresh your faith, your relationship with the Lord, or just get in touch with the Lord. Get in touch with the Lord. When Mary heard her name called out by the Lord, she just stopped crying. Actually, no, that's wrong. She cried even more and said, Rabbi, and she clung on to Jesus, and Jesus said, Don't cling on to me. I had to do what I have to do. Okay? So she went on her way, went to the other disciples, and shared to them what happened. Don't be alone when you go through some transitions. Don't be, what do you call it? Don't be overwhelmed by the emotion. Emotions can be overcome by letting it out, not shouting, but letting it out to a person. Lastly, lesson is Thomas. Thomas is famous for one nickname. Thomas the Thomas the Train. I thought no one would get that. Yeah. Other than being a train, Thomas was also a doubter. A doubter. A doubter. So there's a son and there's a doubter. Okay. I'll stop it. Sorry. Oh my. Okay. I'll share you a theory that I have. We cannot verify this theory unless we go to heaven and ask Jesus personally. But I'll share this to you later. So Thomas was one of the people who weren't there when Jesus showed up first. So everyone else was talking about, hey bro, we saw Jesus, he's alive. Thomas, nah, that's a prank, bro. No, I won't believe until what?
I
see him, and I put my finger through the hole in his hand and in his side.
What?
Yeah, because Jesus was struck by a spear to the side. Yeah. It might not be him. He might. That's why he was labeled the doubter. Now, when Jesus returned again in front of everyone else, now Thomas is with them. You know what Jesus said? Thomas, look at my scars. You can put your finger right through it and my side too. Here's my theory. Jesus doesn't need to have those scars, right? He doesn't need to. Every wound in his body was healed. And he might have left the scars just for Thomas or anyone unbelieving. One commentaries said that there's only one man-made thing in heaven: Jesus' scars. So, yeah, you might be that Thomas who needs something tangible. I won't cling on to Jesus until I see something, I experience something that's real. You could be someone who has to see it to believe it. You might be asking if God cares for your little transitions that you're going through. Does God even care about what I'm thinking right now? What I'm experiencing? He could have just said to Thomas, never mind. He'll still believe once everyone else believes. But no, he went personally to Thomas with the scars and showed him. You might be one of those that has to put your finger on Jesus' scar or has to see what Jesus has done before this current situation. I think I'm not getting that thing clearly. You have to be involved in something that Jesus has already done. If you didn't write something that you're experiencing right now in your journals, you might have written something that you've already gone through, that you've already experienced, or a transition that you've already passed through in your life. When you're faced with a new transition, go back. Go back to what Jesus did. Go back to that time when you don't have the answers and a friend comforted you. Go back to that time when you were so lonely, sad, depressed during that time, and the word of God uplifted your spirit. Go back to that time in camp when you don't know the direction to go, and Jesus just spoke to you. Go back to that time, to that scar that Jesus showed you. These disciples, they were at the in-between stage of their discipleship. They're not even aware of how grand God's plan is for them. A few years later, these confused boys and girls will be labeled the people who turned the world upside down. After the events that we just studied right now, a few years later, they will be turning their entire world literally upside down. The cultures will be changing. The dynamics of relationship will be changing. They will be influencing the micro and the macro government that they are in. This confused group of people inside that room, this few people who don't even know what to do at the moment. You might be at that situation where you don't know what to do. You might be at that situation where it doesn't connect in your mind. Everything you see and hear doesn't line up to what you're experiencing. You might be at that point in your life where your emotions are leading you to something or somewhere far from God. You might be at that point where you have to see or feel something before you believe. You are at the in-between. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing to be in. But the point is, don't pitch your tent while you're at it. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't stay in the transition stage. Transition is only meant for you to pass through and go to the next stage that God has for you. Right now, I want you to pray and close your eyes for a moment. You might be hesitant to put anything in your journal. You might be hesitant to say anything to the person beside you. But God knows what you're going through or what you will go through. And I encourage you, don't go through it alone. God designed you to be a part of something bigger, to be a part of Himself. Just talk to God right now. I don't know which of the three you classify in, or probably you're not there. But if you have things in your mind that doesn't connect, or you're filled with something in your heart that draws you away from God, or you're asking God for more signs, for more things that you can see before you follow, there's nothing more powerful than what He did on the cross for you and for me. I myself can testify how He changed my world 2,000 years ago. How He changed the direction of my life 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even born. From what He did back on that cross in that resurrection morning. God, we thank You for tonight. We just ask, whatever transition we are going through, that we stick to what You have said, You've done for us, Lord, and seek people, seek wisdom, seek comfort from people who are closer to You, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You give us better understanding of your will for our lives. And may we always understand and see that what is in front of us is not your plan, Lord. You have far greater, grander plan for us, Lord. And teach us to believe that as you promised your disciples back then, and until now, you're always with us, whatever situation we are in. Whatever part of the world we are in, you are with us, Lord. Whatever stage in life we are in, you are with us. I just pray for anyone, Lord, who is struggling right now through a transition in their life. Whatever change they are withholding or experiencing, God, give them the grace to seek people who will lead them closer to you, Lord. And to ultimately desire your word above all, Lord. Thank you, God, for everything that you've said. Thank you for tonight. And I pray that you remind these things to us every day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you have a closing song? No? All right. You can continue to journal, or you can...